This is Maria with The Why, from Success to Startup Show, bringing you the whys of entrepreneurship on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com. Hello, welcome to Startup to Success with Maria. My guest today is Michael Crystal, co-founder of rug tech brand Outdoor Tech, where he wore the hats of creative director, head of product, occasional filmmaker, packaging designer, head of janitorial, and oftentimes shipping and customer service. After spending 5 years building the brand from tiny startup to potentially iconic action sports brand, Michael left to create This Feels Right, which has worked with Fortune 500 companies, helped launch solo projects that became Shark Tank sensations, and everything in between. Michael, I'm so excited to have you on the show. How are
you? Hello, I'm glad to be here. I'm good. How are you?
I'm excited. I can't wait to dive into This Feels Right, literally right away. But before we dive in, I have to ask, what inspired you to do what you're doing?
You know, I was interestingly just thinking about this in the shower, not relevant, but I usually, whenever I'm telling the story about how my career started, I always start with the outdoor tech bit. And I was thinking that that's not entirely true. And I was remembering back in like middle school, I was a skater, and which I thought was cool at the time. And a friend of mine or a friend of a friend started a skate wax brand, and it was called Chunk Wax. And he was making his own skate wax, and he was packaging it in plastic and making his own label. And I thought that that was the coolest thing in the world. And I wanted to figure out how to do that. And so naturally I went and made my own skate wax brand without a formula as good as his. I kind of just made more wax, and I think I shoved a rope in it to do like skate wax on a rope. That was my big invention there. And so I think it was around that time I realized that I'm just really into this idea of building brands. Like, how do you make something that people just like? Because they sort of fall in love with this thing, because it's the logo, or is it what they're saying or how they're saying it? And I wanted to figure out all of that stuff. And I think that led me down that path of getting into design and product design and branding and eventually entrepreneurship.
Tell me a little bit about your work experience. Now, did you know, throughout your career, were you an entrepreneur the entire time, or did you have to go work somewhere to learn a few things?
Yeah, well, I think I was, but I didn't know that I was. I didn't consider the possibility that what I wanted to be was an entrepreneur or a CEO, because I was a creative, right? Quote unquote, for whatever that means. And so I thought that the top level for someone like me was creative director. And so I wanted to be like a creative director as quickly as possible. And I was never, I did do the role of creative director, but really I was doing the role of like business owner. And I didn't realize that that was the case until I had gone through probably that first company I started, Outdoor Tech, worked for a few others off and on, and then started This Feels Right. And then understood that what I was actually an entrepreneur.
Amazing. You know, the question that's going to come, which it's my favorite question. What did you have to figure out? And I think in this case, I would love to know about both companies. Were there anything specific that you had to figure out with Outdoor Tech as well as This Feels Right? Maybe we can talk about This Feels Right once you tell us a little bit about that. But Outdoor Tech, was there anything that was really super challenging that you had to figure out? And once you did, it took you to a whole different level.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I think it's something that I'm still working on. So it's probably relevant for This Feels Right too. But so, well, maybe would it be helpful if I tell you the Outdoor Tech story a little bit?
And yes, I would love to. Yes.
Okay, because it's different. So I graduated from college. I got a degree in industrial and interaction design, which is like products, right? How you use them and why. And it's a lot of like studying human factors and you know, how things should look and ergonomics and all that stuff. But it's not so much about like the brand story. Like, you're making the vacuum cleaner, but you're not talking about why people want to buy the vacuum cleaner, right? As far as vacuum cleaners go. And so I wanted to learn that other part, and I wanted to understand that, like back to the skate wax story, right? And so I would always make little brands on my own, but I didn't quite know what I was doing. Right? I didn't know the process of building a brand. I could use Adobe Photoshop and Illustrator to make what I thought was a cool logo, but I didn't really know what I was doing, you know? And it's kind of was still true when I started Outdoor Tech with, who was a friend of my sister's who owned a promotional products company. And he was importing all this stuff, and he had imported these beanies with headphones in them. And I met the dude, and he was like, well, do you want to sell these things at Mountain Towns? Because I had just moved to LA and I was looking for ways to make money. The economy had just tanked, which was a good time to graduate college. And so I wasn't interested in that, but he seemed like a cool dude. So I was like, well, no, but I could make you like a cool logo, and then you could sell the beanies. Maybe people will like that, which I did. Sent it to him, heard back a couple months later, and he asked me if I wanted to grab coffee. And we just sort of started talking about the idea of like, what if we built a brand out of this thing, right? And took some of his products and built a brand around him, and then grew it. And based in that sort of snowboard action sports scene, because this was kind of like Skullcandy time, you know, pre Beats by Dre. Skullcandy was getting really cool, and we had access to all these products, and we both sort of had that background where it would be relevant. And so we started doing that, and I was kind of figuring out what it meant to build a brand while also doing product design. I was flying over to China to manage manufacturing, doing logos. And for like a period of time, it was like we had a beanie. We had something that was like a buff, like a neck scarf sort of thing. And then we had t-shirts and then one pair of Bluetooth headphones. And it was totally random and it made no sense, right? Because it's just stuff that we could get our hands on. And so eventually we started designing our own products. It came together. I started doing some actual research on what does it really mean to build a brand? And so I started teaching myself packaging design and teaching myself branding communications and finding out how that I could bring my voice into the brand. And so I would write little quips, like taglines that I thought were funny, you know? And so we built the company from there. And once it was kind of a real company, it all came together is when I decided I could do this for other startups. And that was the part that I'm really into, when you can work with someone with an idea and help them like visualize that thing and bring it to life.
That's so interesting. I can really resonate with that, because my journey as an entrepreneur has been similar, where I started different types of companies. And then I realized the common thing that I loved with all of my startups right after getting out of grad school was marketing and sales. And so I started a marketing agency to help others grow and scale their businesses. So I can definitely relate to that. Let's talk about This Feels Right. What inspired you to start that?
I think so. Actually, I just rebranded it. It used to be called Brand Matter, a name that I never loved. It didn't feel right, as it turns out. But it was something, it was me. I had left this company, Outdoor Tech. I was still pretty young. You know, I was under 30, but I had this wide skill set, and I had met all these people while building this brand that were like, dude, if you ever want to do this for me, give me a call when you leave that company. As it turns out, being a college kid, fresh out of college, I didn't have the best deal when I started that brand, Outdoor Tech. So it seemed like a pretty good time to bail, which I did. And so then I called all the people that were like, dude, if you ever start your own thing. And I did. And then that kind of helped me build. And it was kind of even then just figuring it out. It was like a startup helping startups, right? So like, I was like, well, how can I help these people? Who do I need to bring in? And I think the thing, maybe this answers your first question, that held me back, that I had to figure out, that I'm still figuring out, is how to release enough control to build your own company so that other people can do things for other people. And so at first I was the guy. Yeah, I'm the jack of all trades. Hire me, I can do it all, right? And that's what Brand Matter was for a long time, because I had a background in product design, industrial design, packaging, branding, making videos, shooting photography, and that's a lot of stuff. It's like, I'll just do it all, right? I'm that guy, and maybe I can charge a lot of money for it. And it worked for a period of time, but also it really burns you out. And yeah. So I had to learn not only to release control, but just the business aspect of, well, how do you hire people, right? What does that mean? So now I had this creative background. I was starting to figure out that maybe what I am is an entrepreneur. And now I needed to figure out what it means to be an entrepreneur, right? Like the scepter of risk and building a business and being responsible for paying other people and paying taxes and all the fun stuff, you know?
And delegating a lot, right? Which is really the key to being a successful entrepreneur, which has been a challenge for me too, a lot of times. You know, I tend to like to be involved in every aspect. And I noticed as I'm growing, as my business is growing, it's just harder to be involved and it's just not smart. I'm not able to scale as quickly as I could. Now, tell me who your target audience is for This Feels Right. Like, who is the ideal customer for you?
It's a hard question to answer because it's a little bit across the board. Like, we've done, I get excited about new ideas. And as long as those ideas are not toxic or garbage, which there's plenty of, I can get excited about it. Like, we just did a kids bubble brand where a husband and wife had this really cool idea and they you know, put a lot of money into building it. And it's like a Franzia wine box filled with bubbles and you can refill it. And it had this whole mission about, apparently there's a ton of garbage being created from bubbles. Like, people ship this like overseas water and then like it's in a plastic bottle and they throw it at, like, you don't know what's in that water, I guess, you know, hopefully it's just bubbles. But anyway, so we helped them create their identity. I'd never done a kids bubble toy company, but it was really fun. And then right after that, we did a CBD honey brand. And now we're getting a lot into the crypto space, which is interesting. And crypto is, you know, complicated in and of itself, not only that it's kind of the Wild West, right? So there's a lot of really cool, genuine, great innovation happening with crypto, and also a lot of eye rolls and a lot of scams. And so trying to navigate through that world has been an interesting journey too.
So would crypto be sort of like a service-based thing that you're helping them with? Or are they like, I'm curious to know, are they building a brand? Like,
yeah, so we're helping, we've helped a few crypto companies that have an idea for, it's usually more than a currency. It's like a currency plus, or like it's part of a mission. One of our clients right now, Flycoin, which is a really cool company, is innovating travel rewards, right? So you go and you earn points for like the stuff that you do, but it's like the Delta points or the Southwest points, and you can only use it. And then if you transfer it, you lose money. And you know, this idea of the point seems kind of dated. And what Flycoin is innovating is, why can't a point be a cryptocurrency? And now you own it. And as soon as everyone has this, you can spend that and then you could trade it for cash because you're actually getting paid in real money to do things. And so we've been helping them define that vision and communicate it.
That's awesome. So are you also helping them, assisting them with finding engineers and getting the technology part of it done? Or is that something that they're managing on their own?
Less the engineers for the building of the crypto, but yes, on the user experience of the consumer facing app. So we do a lot of consumer facing stuff like that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So walk me through what the, I guess, the stages would be if our listeners are have an idea. And I've realized throughout my experience that a lot of people have ideas and they're either they're scared to take that idea and test it and create it, or they just don't know how. So I'm assuming the ideal customer for you would be a client for you would be the one that wants it but doesn't know how. So walk us through the steps if they're listening and they have an idea and they're interested to execute this idea and turn it into productize the idea or whatever it is, if it's a service they want to bring it out to life, what would be the steps working with you like?
Sure. I mean, it's a broad question because every product is different, right? Are you making a t-shirt company or an app or, you know, I don't know, a robot, which I don't know how much we can help with the robot. We could probably make it look cool, but
give me an idea of, I guess, what are the main things that you help them with? I'll give you an example. My marketing agency, we usually help clients who are pretty established, where they have a pretty steady brand and they have used paid media. You know, they've used a lot of different types of advertising and they come to us looking to scale. Literally grow from maybe $100,000 that they're spending per month to maybe $1 million, right? That's what we do, scale them. And part of the service that we provide is we review everything that they've done to really, we analyze and see what worked, what hasn't. And then we come up with a strategy and then a city takeover, sort of a tactic where we're going to take over one city with omni-channel type of marketing, and then we'll scale that into other cities and kind of go nationwide. So I guess what I would love to know is, what are the main things that you sort of offer is, you know, as part of the service? I'm sure the listeners would be interested to know, like, you know, what could they rely on you for in terms of wanting to make something a reality?
Yeah, 100%. So it's always still going to be, it's going to be depend on how far along the thing is. If we're starting from scratch, or like we have a bunch of fuzzy ideas, which is usually where it is. A lot of times it's someone had an idea and they hired some graphic designer to make a logo. And maybe they have a prototype of their product. Maybe it's digital or physical that they hired some guy they found online. And so now they have a brand, which is probably like a kind of a crappy logo and a half functioning product, but they were able to raise money for it. And so usually that happens because they have a really defined vision or a path, and they've done a good job of laying that out. What we're really good at is you've achieved that. And even before that, we work with companies that haven't been funded also. And the process is similar, where we'll do something that's like a brand sprint, where we'll sit down with them and we'll just do the fun, hard work of just talking through it. Right? We'll put a bunch of stuff on a board. We'll say, what do you want this brand? You know, what is your product? What do you, in 5 years, what does your brand look like? You know, let's plot that out. And then let's step back. What did you do in 4 years? What did you do in 3 years? What did you do in two? And then we'll look at the between zero and one and think about what are the things we need to do to get there. And as soon as you help people by creating that framework, it all becomes a lot clearer, right? A lot of times people just need someone to provide that. And so we'll do that. We'll talk about what do you want your brand to look and feel like. The reason that I changed the name to This Feels Right is because that word, that phrase happens so often at this stage, where it's like you're working with them, you're like, no, it doesn't feel right yet. I don't know why. I'm not a designer. And then you work with them because they can see it in their head, right? And it's all about, in terms of the logo, the identity, the brand mission, it's helping them like crystallize that till the point where it does feel right. And so that's a lot of times what we'll do in something like a 30-day brand sprint, or it's usually like 30 to 40 days, where it's like 1 week we'll do like, let's get it all out there, right? And then we'll also be doing research is a big part of it. So your homework is to figure out everything, and we'll do that together of like, what do you want it to look like? We're going to go and research the market to say, okay, here's all of these opportunities. Here's what brands in the similar space look like. Let's align on that. And then we'll kind of together understand what we want this brand to look and feel like. And then we'll sort of start to move to design mock-ups that are based around your idea, mission statements. And by the end of that, you'll kind of have your brand on a platter. You have a logo, you have a tagline, you have draft social media images, potentially a website or whatever the product is. And so we get them to the point where it's like, okay, now you have it. And then we also do the marketing, the digital marketing, and help them grow to the point where they're ready for someone like you.
That's amazing. I'm sure you're familiar with this phrase, MVP. So do you guys ever launch something that's not really there and act as if, and then see traction? And then, you know, because we work with a lot of tech companies, and a lot of times, you know, they'll come to me and they're like, well, we have the beta product, but we haven't really launched it. We want to see if there's traction. And they kind of just pretend this as if product, you know, as if it exists already, and test the market, yeah, if there's traction before they pour so much money into it. Do you guys ever do that?
Well, yes and no, right? So there's definitely market testing, which is a good strategy. But then there's like, you don't want to be market testing something that doesn't exist and may not exist. That's when you get into like the sketchy Kickstarter realm, yes, which we have done. And so I'd say the closest we've gotten, because we design and develop our own brands and products as well. So we created a VR brand called Anomaly that we Kickstarted and sold in 2018. Wow. And that gets into that realm because we made it, we prototyped it, but we needed to raise money to take it any further. So we put it out there to see if it got the traction, and it was successful, not as successful as it needed to be to really pursue it. And so we sold it, and that was okay too. But yeah.
So what is it about the startup stage that you like?
I like new ideas.
It's clear to me that you like that. And it's so crazy. I've never come across anyone who likes that. I always thought that I'm the weirdest person ever, because I just love anyone and everyone around me, if they come up with an idea, I'm just like, oh, you should start that and you should do this and this and this. And you should, I just get so excited about startup ideas and I'm so good at starting something, but then, you know, 2-3 years down the line, I'm just like, okay, next, like, it's almost like a sickness where I just want to start new companies every 2-3 years. And I honestly, at one point was like, maybe I should talk to a therapist. I don't know if something is off here. So I'm going to dive a little deeper into this with you because you're the first person that I've come across that thinks like me. But the smart thing is you turned it into a business, you know, you're actually helping people execute it.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.